Da'at in its Geonut of Pashtut. You know what Yichaveh Da'at is. Yabia Omer is a sefer that I always like to say to the students, be sure you take two Tylenols before you learn a tshuva of Yabia Omer, because you're going to go for a ride. That's a roller coaster of a ride. And he takes us along with him. And he takes us along. But what did he do? He didn't stop there. He worried. What about those that will not be able to take that ride so easily? So what did he do in all his greatness? He took the Yabia Omer and he shrunk it. He made it easier. He made it simpler in Yichaveh Da'at. I remember as an eighth grader going on to ninth grade, my father telling me that summer, you want to be a Talmid Chacham one day? You want to know halakha? Take these six volumes, Yichaveh Da'at. Learn the living daylights out of them. Review them again and again, and you will know halakha. And I remember there was hardly a night that I wouldn't go to bed. In bed, et chataya ani maskir, in bed, reading Yichaveh Da'at, and just basking in the simplicity of what he took. He took a world of halakha, of geonut, and he put it into, wow, that's so easy. I could do that too. I could also learn. That's what he means to say. And you read it, and you think, wow, I think I could write like this too. Maybe except for the few hundred v'chen katav, I could also do this. Why not? That's what he wanted. Because I remember that day, actually that Shabbat, 1987, I was in ninth grade. And the Rav Ovadia Yosef came to Flatbush, Brooklyn, New York. I was learning in Yeshiva Tamir at the time, and I heard that that Shabbat, he's coming to the Syrian community, and he's going to go all around, the whole Shabbat, from Beta Knesset to Beta Knesset, Lidrosh Barabim. And for me, to have the chance to see Rav Ovadia Yosef, who would pass up on such a thing? The whole week, normally, I would stay in the dormitory and I would come home for Shabbat. That week, I asked my parents if I can stay. It wasn't an easy thing to ask. I'm an only boy. But I asked my parents, can I stay that Shabbat? What's the question? My brother said, of course you stay. Wherever he went, I went. If it was Friday night in Yeshivat Ateret Torah, I'll never forget that time. While we're singing Yigdal, okay? While after Arvit, they asked him to speak, to say a Dvar Halacha. While we are singing Yigdal, he asked for someone to run and to give him a Mishnah Berurah Kafa Chaim. Wow, Mishnah Berurah Kafa Chaim? I could do that too, right? You could open up a Mishnah Berurah Kafa Chaim. He's going to tell us some Mishnah Berurahs. Interesting, nice. You see him in his famous way with the glasses up and looking for maybe, I don't know, not more than 2 minutes into the Mishnah Berurah, into the Chafetz Chaim Tov, he closes it. He gets up. Not one word from the Mishnah Berurah, and not one word from the Chafetz Chaim. In other words, what he needed was to start the engine. What he needed was to get into that world which he felt so warm in. That world of the Rishonim and the Achonim. Those were his friends. That's what he said once. I don't remember where I read this, but in one of the interviews. After the interview was taking a little bit too long. And he said, I have to go back to my friends. Your friends? Where do you have to go back? Yeah. The Rashba is waiting for me. The Ritva is waiting for me. He wasn't joking. He lived in the world of the Rishonim. He lived in the world of the Achonim. Even in the world of the Achonim that we never heard of. And we would never hear of them if it wasn't for him. There are names of Achonim. There are names of Sfarim that today Mechabrim, today Talmidei Chachamim, authors of Sfarim, are. With what ease do they quote these books? And we all know they would never have been introduced to those Sfarim, Lule Sifrei Yabia Omer, if it wasn't for the Sefer of Yabia Omer that introduced them to each and every single Acharon, single Rishon that there is. Because he knew them all. He knew them all by name, as if he knew them personally.
The Gemara in Baba Batra says, Oto hayom sheniftar Avraham Avinu. On that day that Avraham Avinu was niftar, that passed away. Amdu kol malche umot haolam ve'amru. On the day that Avraham Avinu passed away, all the kings of the world got up, they rose, and they proclaimed, Oy lo la'olam she'avad manhigo, Oy la la'sfina she'avad kavarnita. Woe to the world that lost its leader, its manhig. Woe to that ship that lost its captain, kavarnita. You read the Gemara, and maybe you'll think, well, maybe it's a repetition, maybe it's a poetic way of saying. But maybe, if we think into it, there is a difference between a manhig and a kabarnit. A manhig is milashon hanhaga, a leader who shows the way how to be mitnaheg, how to behave, how to guide oneself, how to lead oneself in life. Hanhaga is more of a daily thing. Every day, to show us the way how to live every day, how to live our daily lives, how to live our daily moments. Kabarnita is a different story. Kabarnita means sometimes the ship not only needs a leader, but needs a captain, because a ship goes through stormy times, goes through stormy oceans. And it's not easy. There are a lot of bumps in the roads. There are a lot of waves that want to come upon the ship. The kabarnit is the one that everybody looks to at that time. Lead us out of this storm. Show us, guide us through these stormy times. And that was Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, everybody knew him. Everybody. Nesi Elokim ata betochenu. You are a prince of Hashem among us. What does it say in this week's, yesterday's Haftarah? You know, I'll tell you the truth. I'm sure that many of you thought of this while you heard the Haftarah yesterday. Let's just speak this out together. Mi he'ir mi mizrach. Who is the one that arose from the east? Tzedek yikra'ehu leraglo. Wherever he walked, he called upon Tzedek, and he brought Tzedek. If there is any decency in today's world, whether it's misconstrued or not, whether it is bederech akalkal or not, aval any type of chesed or ruach of chesed that is in the world today stems all the way back, has its roots all the way back from none other than Avraham Avinu. Mi he'ir mi mizrach tzedek yikra'ehu leraglo. Wherever he spoke, wherever he walked, all he spoke about was tzedek, to walk in the ways of Hashem and to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is chafetz chesed. Hashem created the world for chesed. Then we emulate the Creator with ma'aseh chesed, with tzedakah v'chesed. Yiten lefanav goyim u'melachim yard. In front of him, nations and their kings were right below him, were underneath him. He was in control of them. Yiten ke'afar charbo ke'kash nidav kashto. Yirdefem ya'avor shalom orach beraglav lo yavo. Avraham Avinu, wherever he went, he took care of business. He knew how to fight when it was necessary, and he knew how to be soft and kind when that's what was called for. That was Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was not just a person that was a softy. So therefore, mimela, because he had a soft heart, so he was nice to people. No, it was by principle. It was because he emulated HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So mimela, when the time called for it, to be someone that is takif, to be someone that teaches the world that this is wrong, that this is not the way to go, that's what Avraham Avinu was counted on for. Mi pa'al ve'asa, who is the one who caused all this to happen? Kore hadorot merosh, The Gemara in Masechet Chagiga uses this pasuk, Kore hadorot merosh, to teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu so, Ra'a she'atzadikim mu'atim hem, Amad ushtalan bechol dor vador. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the beginning when he created the world, he saw, after all, there are not going to be so many tzadikim, comparatively talking, to Reshaim. So what did he do? He spread it. He spread it all over the generations. They're peppered all over the future generations. Why? I have to make sure to it. Ki lo tishachach mi pizaro. To make sure that the Torah Hashem continues on and on throughout all the generations. There are those that held that banner of ki lo tishachach mi pizaro and guaranteed it and make sure that it continued. About a manhig, what does it say? Asher yetzeh lifnehem. He went out before us and he came in before us. There is that time in life when we have to go out. There is that time in life when we have to speak up. When we have to demonstrate. When we have to demonstrate our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our love for Torah. And we cannot accept the fact that the next generation will just grow up without knowledge of Torah. We have to go out. Here you're talking about someone that wishes that he could have stayed in the Arba Amot Shel Halakha every second. And by the way, he did. Wherever he was, even when he went out, he was Bedaled Amot Shel Halakha. He took the Daled Amot Shel Halakha with him, wherever he went. That's Asher Yetzeh Lifnehem. He went out before us and he showed us what does it mean to go out. But Va'asher Yavo Lifnehem. There's also how to be guided, how to come back home, how to stay inside, how not to waste time. How to cherish every single moment. 1 second of life is so precious. Who taught us that, if not Hareb Ovadia Yosef? Every minute was Bikdusha uVetahara. Every minute was Torah. On that Friday night, coming back to that Friday night, after the drasha, if I may call it a drasha, after that pilpul in Da'atam Shel HaRishonim, in the Inyan of Kiddush v'Makom Seudah, Everybody lined up to come and to kiss his hand. And I'll never forget, standing online, I couldn't wait to hold that hand. For me, that year, the hand of Yabia Omer, the hand that writes Yabia Omer, that hand of a king, to come and to kiss that hand. I remember, Mamash L'Shem Yichud Kudsha Baruch Hu, I remember doing it with Kavanot, with having in mind, this is the hand of Yabia Omer. I looked up to his face, he was in a different world, his mouth was moving, there's no such a thing as wasting time to stand there and to have his hand being kissed. Well, what can he do? What can he do? So might as well use the time. And he used the time. I'll never forget reading just a while ago, he had to go, the doctors told him he had to go on the treadmill a half hour every day. What do you think he did on the treadmill? And earphones with an iPad, with music? What do you think he did on the treadmill? If the Mishnayot of Shas were not flying left and right, that's what learned Mishnayot on the treadmill, no problem. He took the Daled Amot Shel Halakha wherever he went. I read a story, and I'm sorry if I'm being random from one thing to another, but bear with me. I read a story this past Shabbat. You know the ladder stories? There are many of those. Many stories where he went up the ladder. I mean, he had a towering library all around his house. You didn't see any walls, because his house was Daled Amot Shel Halakha. So he needed a ladder to get a sefer. There's only one problem. With his tremendous tshuka in Ahavat HaTorah, he cannot wait till he gets down from the ladder to open up the sefer. I have the sefer in my hand right now. He opens it up. And now there's another problem. When he opens up a sefer, it's going to take a long time before he closes it. And he's learning on top, the top rung of the ladder. Learning and learning the sefer, going through it, polishing it off like he did with every other sefer that we know or that we don't know of. But one time, what happened was painful. He forgot where he was. So he took a step and he fell. He fell, he was bedridden. For a week he had to stay in bed. Harav Elyashiv Zecher Tzadik Livracha went to visit him. Harav Elyashiv, another one of the losses that we lost in the past, 2 years? Rabbi Eliashiv doesn't go just to visit and to stay and to spend time. By him also, every minute was kadosh. Normally, even when he would just go to, even when he would go to do bikur cholim by gdolei Torah, he would spend a minute or two, a little more, and that's it. And this time he went to visit Rav Ovadia Yosef. He spent with him, they say, almost an hour. The whole hour they were talking and learning and on and on. So there's always that wise guy who asks the questions afterwards, and he asks him, Rabbeinu, what happened? Usually you go into Mivaker and you're out. This time you spent so long. He said, we don't ask a kushya when it comes to Rav Ovadia Yosef. This is different. This chole is different. This sick man is sick with the love of Torah. That's something else. That's something else. That's not a regular chole. His machala came from choli, cholat ahavato ani, be'ahavata tishget amid. If he ever made mistakes, it was mistakes that came from Torah. It was shigagah ha'yotze mipi asharit, not mistakes. It was be'ahavata tishget amid. It was constantly the love of Torah that was on him. That's all he knew. That's all he knew. The love of Klal Yisrael that he had merged together with the love of Torah. He couldn't bear see. And he had foresight. And he was born with that foresight. Already from when he was a teenager, he couldn't bear to see the fact that a future of the Sfaradim is going to grow. Just accepting the fact that they're simple. Just accepting the fact that, well, the Torah is by the Ashkenazim. We do Hashem a favor if we say some Chok Yisrael, if we learn some halachot of the Ben Ish Chai and Gemarnu. He couldn't bear to see that. He wanted each and every one of us to know that if we want to become great, we can do it too. We can become great. It's possible for us to become Gedolei Torah, to become Talmidei Chachamim, to be proficient and knowledgeable in Torah. And that was his life motto. Every Shabbat when he was a young man, I heard something that I can't believe, I can't even do the math to figure this out. Every Shabbat he would go to 12, no less than 12 Bate Knesset, to be Doresh, Mekatet, Raglav, Tzedek. One shul to another, 12 shuls in one Shabbat. How do you do that? So they told him, Rabbeinu, why? What's the purpose? And what did he speak when he went to these shuls? What did he say? He stand there and gave a pilpul of Shabbat HaGadol? What do you think he spoke? Ay, the sweetness that came out of his mouth. I'm sure many of us were zoche to hear the drashot that he would give. There was no one in Klal Yisrael that cannot connect to what he had to say. There was no such a thing as someone saying, this is too high for me. Because he knew how to be Vayered Moshe El Ha'am. He knew how to come down to the lowest of the low. He would sometimes, in his royalty, in his beautiful poetic way of giving over Torah, he would say over a joke that spoke to every single person in the room. He had such a sense of humor, of Kedusha, that made him beloved and made the Torah beloved on each and every Jew that came across his path. I'll never forget that Shabbat, coming back to that Shabbat. For the first time I heard him speak, I was in awe. What was I in awe of? This happened to be the Motzai Shabbat. He spoke in Ahava Ve'Achva, that Motzai Shabbat. And he was speaking Kedarko Bakodesh, Meshalim, Al Gavi Meshalim. I mean, he knew all the Meshalim of the Magid Vidumna and all the Sipurim that you want, that you'll ever hear. He knew them by heart, and there was no one that could give it over like him. With the sweetness that he gave it over. From one mashal to another, from one ma'amal chazal to another. But one of the things that just gripped me was the fact I felt like I'm listening to a Sefer Tanakh talking. He didn't speak regular. You know that. His words were constantly interwoven with psukim, not of the psukim that we know and say every day. With psukim from Tanakh, that we yet are to know that they exist. Because he didn't just quote from the Haftarot that maybe we heard once a year. From the psukim in Yeshaya, from Parakim that we lo shezaftan ayin, that we yet did not have the chance to see, by him it was like water, interwoven into what he spoke. It's like hearing a chumash speaking. You ever took a look at the sefer, the sfarim of the Chida? If you look in the sfarim of the Chida, sometimes, besides having to understand what he's writing, besides the ge'onut of the Chida, sometimes you just have to go through the riddles that you think he's speaking riddles. Everything that he says is built on a pasuk. Vatishkot ha'ares, areshet sefaten, vatishkot ha'ares. This is the type of lishonot that were left and right. Psukim al gavi psukim, ma'amari chazal al gavi ma'amari chazal. That was Motzai Shabbat. I remember 4 hours he spoke. I wish he would continue for 40 hours, literally. When he ended, nobody wanted him to finish. With such ahava he spoke, and with such a mitikut that was me'en olam haba. The next morning, now it's in yeshiva. You have to go to yeshiva. There's yeshiva on Sunday, right? There's a shir. He was supposed to give a shi'ur to the avrechim in Ateret Torah. Now this is going to be different than what he spoke about on Lel Shabbat, or Yom Shabbat, Motzei Shabbat. This is going to be different. This is made for the avrechim. The avrechim didn't know what they're getting into. He was going to speak about the question, someone who is born, b'ben hashmashot, is the milah doche Shabbat. One of his favorite topics, upon which pages and pages in Yabia Omer. That's what he spoke about. All right. I asked my Rebbe permission. Please, can I go to the shiur? Can I miss one day and go? Of course, 100%. Understood? I remember recording it. The recording didn't come out so good. I tried writing. What came forth from his mouth on that morning was something agadi, legendary, unbelievable. The mikorot, the kushiyot, and the tirutzim, od nimuk echad yesh, nimuk sheni, nimuk shlishi, another tirutz. Whether it was maharitz flying around, whether it was ktsot achoshen, whether it was maharit al gazi, from left and from right, you would think that he would have on his table at least 10 sfarim open, and everything that he quoted was word for word, with such ease, like water. En mayim el Torah, it came out of his mouth like water. The only thing that he had on his table were empty cups of tea at the end of the drasha. That was the only thing that you found. Sefer, a gemara, a mefaresh, nothing. Everything came out just like that. Here we see the gadlut of one night going down to people to explain to them in a simple way why they should send their children to yeshiva, and the next day taking the most advanced talmidei chachamim into his world of lamdanut, of piskei halacha, psak halacha, the way he knew how to pask. What would we do without him? I read a story that it was when he just became Rav HaRashi le Tel Aviv. I guess this means in the early 70s or maybe late 60s. Rav HaRashi le Tel Aviv. Came Pesach, and Pesach time, the minhag was in Tel Aviv, mitam harabanut, they would post up a big poster full of the halachot, of the basic halachot of chametz and of Pesach, and they would post it up. That year, they came to the newly appointed chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, that they brought to him the page of the halachot that he should sign as the Rav HaRashi. He took a look at the paper and he said, I'm not signing. Why not signing? There are some points here that I can't sign. I don't agree. What do you mean you don't agree? What points? We'll accommodate, we'll adjust. No. There are a few points here that have to be changed. For example, it said there, Hakitniyot asurim bePesach, veHasfaradim nohagim bahem heter. He He said, I'm not signing such wording. No, this is not the halakha. What should we write? What you have to write is very simple. You have to write the truth. Hakitniyot mutarim bePesach. Ashkenazim nohagim bahem isur. That's what you have to write. Oh, the one who was in charge of writing was himself, was Ashkenazi. And so it wasn't so pashut to what we're going to change the nusach of years and years, year in and year out. This is how it was going to change. I'm not signing it. They went to Rav Unterman, the Rav Rashi at the time. And the Rav Unterman told them, whatever he says is the truth. You change it like he says. He knows what he's saying. Why did I pick that little anecdote? Because to me, this signifies something that was a very big part of him. A part of his malchut. Libo liban shel Yisrael. Lev kol Yisrael. The Rambam writes about the king of Israel, the heart of all Klal Yisrael. And he understood it's the time to raise the heart of those who felt inferior, of those who felt down. I'm going to bring them up. I'm going to show them what it means to be proud of Piskei Maran HaBet Yosef. How many times out of his mouth came, En lanu ela divrei Maran, Atacha de Maran Samchinan. How many times does he write that in his Sfarim? In fact, so many times that between me and you, Rabotai, you get the feeling sometimes that this he had a nitzotz of Maran HaBet Yosef. I remember in one of the Kinusim HaGdolim, just recently, less than 12 years ago, went to Eretz Yisrael. Whenever I went to Eretz Yisrael, I always looked for those big signs to see his name. Oh, where is he speaking? I'm going there. He was speaking in one place in Yerushalayim, and there was one Rav at the time that had the audacity to come up with a psak against, in Ilchot Sfirat HaOmer, came up with a psak that did not follow the way of Maran HaShulchan Aruch. You should have seen, and I brought my son with me at the time, he was 8 years old. Oh, so 8 years old, this is even less than 10 years. I brought with me my son, just that he should, one time, to see Arav Ovadia Yosef, so he can testify. You should have seen with what anger, with what terror, he spoke out against that Rav. How can he have the azut? How can he have that chutzpah to write in his sefer against Maran HaShulchan Aruch? Right then and there, and I was far in the back, the place was packed with Bnei Torah. Right then and there, the feeling I got was, this is to us an echo, a spark of the Neshama HaKdosha of Maran HaBet Yosef. He took it so personally, as if it was him. He took it so, if it was him, he wouldn't take it personally. What am I saying? He stood up for the honor of the Torah like nobody that we saw in our generation. And therefore, he was able, that the Pasuk was mitkayem, hazor'im bedim'a berima yitzo. If ever this Pasuk was fulfilled by someone who from his youth, he was zore'a bedim'a, he had to collect penny to penny in order to buy his beloved Sfarim. There are legendary stories about how he would hide the money that his father gave him for transportation, that he should take the bus every day from his home to Yeshivat Porat Yosef. And what did he do instead? I think it was maybe half a agura, not sure. Half a penny or a penny. No, that he saved. He needs to publish his notebooks that he began to write. As a 9-year-old, he writes on top of his notebook, Chidushei Yabia Omer, with his beautiful flowery handwriting, and even a stamp that he made of his own with the picture of the Kotel HaMa'arami. So he saved penny to penny, until one day there was a Kol Rash Gadol in the room. That drawer that carried all the pennies came crashing down, and his father asked him, where did you get all this money from? What happened here? And he had to tell him the truth. That every day he would walk 1 hour at least to his yeshiva just to save that money. Hazor'im bedim'ah. Penny to penny, just to buy those beloved sfarim of his. And even after he got married, the poverty we cannot even describe, in which poverty he was shakua belimud Torah. He was invested. He was immersed in the waters of Torah in a way that's indescribable. What came out was a malach. What came out was a piece of tahara, a piece of kedusha. What came out from the mikveh waters of Torah. That's what we saw with our own eyes. I'll never forget on that Shabbat, that Motzai Shabbat, you know how we came to the Bima? You know how we walked to the front? If there was ever a sight of Malchut, that was it. You know how he walked. He had to walk like a king, because he was a king. The way he held the robe and he walked was something that you can never forget if you saw it. You right away were taken over by the royalty of Torah. And in Brooklyn, I guess they know how to do it. They were rolling red carpet in front of him. Red carpet until he reached the front of the Hechal in Bet HaKnesset Achiezer. Until he reached the front. Not that he paid attention to it. We have no doubt what he was doing while he was walking. But that was a sight to see. That's something that a person cannot forget. That's something that we needed to revive us and to revive Klal Yisrael with Ahavat HaTorah. The truth is that I feel like I can go all night, and it's not my right to do that. And I apologize if I went a little bit too long, and the truth is I didn't even say a quarter of what I wrote down to say. I just want to end off with the following. There is a big void. There is a halal in the world right now. Because a Sefer Torah was put back into the Hechal. That Sefer Torah Mehalech, which the Gemara tells us that Kama Tipsha'e Hane Bavla'e, that they stand before the Sefer Torah, but in front of a Talmid Chacham, they're not so careful to stand up. And yet the Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin asks a question. The Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin says, how do we know that we're supposed to stand up for a Sefer Torah? For a Talmid Chacham, we stand. The Gemara answers, "Mipene lomdeha omdim, mipaneha lo kol sheken." So there's a contradiction here. On one hand, you're telling me a kal vachomer the other way. On one hand, you're telling me that what? Kama tipshei hani bavlae, that what? That they stand up for a Talmid Chacham. That they stand up for a Sefer Torah, and they don't stand up for a Talmid Chacham. That means Talmid Chacham is bigger. And the other Gemara you're learning, how do we know you're supposed to stand up for a Talmid Chacham? Because we stand up by Sefer Torah. So which one is more important? The answer is, there are two types. The Pnei Yeshua answers, there are two types of Talmidei Chachamim. There are many Talmidei Chachamim in the world. And the Gemara needs to learn out from a Sefer Torah that we stand up for every Talmid Chacham. But it's different when it comes to a Baal Hora'ah. When it comes to someone who didn't fear to paskin, who didn't fear to be posek and to be machriya in halakha, to decide halakha, to be a Baal Hora'ah, that means he had the whole Torah within him. That's something else. Kama tipshaye hani bavla'el, that they stand for a Sefer Torah and not for a walking Sefer Torah. So there is a big void that we have to fill. And the Gemara says, the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu asked him, what's going to be when Klal Yisrael are going to sin? What are you going to do? Are you going to destroy them like you did in the Dor HaMabul? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry. They can bring a korban v'yitkaper lahem. So Avraham Avinu said, Tinach Bet HaMikdash Kayam. That's good when the Bet HaMikdash is in existence. What's going to be when the Bet HaMikdash is not in existence? So you know what? There's one midrash that answers. One midrash answers, don't worry, I will take one tzaddik from them, and that will be a kapara. The question is, how could it be to take one tzaddik? How could it be? In the Navi, you know what it says? The biggest punishment. Hineni yosif lehafli hafle vafele. The biggest punishment is to take away from us a tzaddik. Ve'avda chokhmat chachamav, I'm going to take from them the chachamim. That's the biggest punishment written. Hafle vafele. You know why? You know what the Pasuk says before that? Ya'an ki nigash ha'am hazeh befiv ubisfatav ki beduni v'ribo rachak mimeni. Because everything became rote. Because tefillah became routine. So the question is, why take a tzaddik? We still have tefillah. If there's no Bet HaMikdash, okay, there's no korbanot, but there is tefillah. The answer is, if the tefillah looks the way we daven, then we need something else. Chas v'shalom, that's what happens. That's why a tzaddik is nifta. So how do we fill that void? If we're able to put a little bit thought, a little bit more thought, into our tefillah, into our amen that we answer. How could it be that a kaddish is said and amen is answered by rote? Amen is answered with a whisper. It should be with a roar of Kiddush Hashem. It should be with the sound of the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. If we put a little bit kavanah into amen Yehe Shemei Rabba Mevarach, which is all about sanctification of the name of Hashem in the world, maybe each and every one of us, little by little, can fill one speck of that void that we, each and every one of us feels in his heart this whole week. And we pray to Hashem, Tehi nishmato tzrura b'tzror ha'chaim et Hashem Eloka. Yi ratzon shiyalitz tov ba'adenu ve'ad kol kehal Yisrael. Yi ratzon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take away from us all tzar. U'macha Hashem dim'a me'al kol panim. That we should come to a time where kimalea haaretz de'a et Hashem, kamayim layam mechasim, kirtzono v'chirtzon yere'av.
I would like to thank Harav Ben Chaim for his beautiful, inspiring words. I don't want to be long. Harav Moshe Parush, Zichrono Livracha, started a Talmud Torah in Yerushalayim, in the Shchonat HaBukharim. This Talmud Torah was supposed to be against the Talmud Torah, against the influence of the Tzionim, who were taking especially Sfaradi children out of Chinuch, putting them in kibbutzim, putting them in places where they were being taken away from their religion. Harav Moshe Parush decided that he is going to open a yeshiva for Sfaradim. This yeshiva was the Talmud Torah called Bnei Tzion. Porat Yosef started later, but elementary school was Bnei Tzion. Chacham Ovadia Yosef learned in this Talmud Torah. And Chacham Ovadia testified that it was in this Talmud Torah when he was around 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. He had a Rebbe called Harav Shlomo Abo. This Rebbe had a great, great hashpa'ah on him. And this Rebbe would instill within Chacham Ovadia, Yirat Shamayim. He said, those ages, those were the ages that I was mushpa to dedicate myself to Talmud Torah. When he got to Parat Yosef, he was already full throttle. He was already going as fast as he could. In elementary school, as a young boy, he had decided to dedicate himself because of this Rebbe that had hashpa'ah on him. And because of this, his whole life, he understood the importance, he understood how a Jewish child can be mushpa, and how you cannot give up on any Jewish child. He always used to say, "He's ahu bibnei anihim shemehem tetze Torah." He used to say in Parat Yosef, he said, most of the Talmidim were either children of great rabbis who were supported by the community, great mekubalim who were supported by the community, or in Parat Yosef, they were children who from wealthy parents who weren't rabbis, but who were able to take their children and send them to yeshiva. Otherwise, there were no poor children in Parat Yosef. As soon as you got to the age after Bnei Tzion, they sent you to work. You had to go and you had to help your family. He was one of the few that was zocher that his father was Moser Nefesh. And that in itself is a whole story which we've told many times. How his father originally wanted him to help him. Chacham Ezra Atiyah went to the house and said, the boy will go to yeshiva. I will help you. I will help you with your store. He rolled up his sleeves. He said, I will help you. Chabad Vadia always believed, Yizahu b'bnei aniim, shemehem tetze Torah. It was mentioned also that originally, I saw also in an article this week, Chacham David Yosef was told by his father that originally he did not have a good memory. Everyone thinks he was born with a majestic memory. In the beginning, he said to his son, I had no memory, I couldn't remember anything, he said. One day I took a siddur and I prayed and I prayed and I cried and cried to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was a young boy, he says. I cried to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give me a good memory. I should be able to remember my learning. I shouldn't forget it right away. He said, from then on, because of the tefillot, I had an unbelievable memory. After I prayed and cried, that's when I was blessed with this memory that everybody is talking about. He was encouraged by this Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Avo, that he should learn plakim by heart. Other Rebbeim wouldn't encourage this. But he pushed his Talmidim to learn plakim by heart. He says a story that he learned many, many Masechtot Mishnayot by heart, many, many Gemarot by heart, and then his father took him on a trip to Iraq. He had to go to Iraq for something, for business, for whatever it was, to take care of something. He took 10-year-old Ovadia Yosef. He brings him to the Beit Midrash, sits him down. Ovadia takes a Gemara. They weren't learning Gemara until they were 15 years old in Iraq. They didn't learn, that was their Shita. They didn't learn until they were 15 years old. He went over there to this yeshiva, opens up a Gemara, and he starts to learn. And they start to tell him, why are you making fun? Why are you making jokes? You can't learn Gemara. He starts to read the whole page by heart. The whole page, he reads to these Talmidei 20-year-old Chachamim by heart. They take them to the chief. They take him to the chief of Baghdad, who was Harav Abudi. Later, he served with Harav Ovadia Yosef on the Beit Din HaGadol. They took him to Harav Abudi, who was the chief rabbi of Baghdad, and they said, look at this boy. And Harav Abudi started to test him. And he saw the boy is a Gaon. The boy knows things by heart. His father came back to pick him up. He said, this boy must stay in yeshiva. You cannot let him. He is going to be a great Talmid Chacham. He's going to illuminate the world. Harav Tzvi Pesach Frank, there is a famous story. Every Shabbat, Talmidei Chachamim would come. And they would come to him, an 18-year-old, Harav Ovadia Yosef, he would take him, as soon as he walked in, he would stand up, melo komato, for Chacham Ovadia, take him and sit him right next to him. He said to Harav Ovadia, they told him, Kvod Harav, you're a Gaon, you're an older person, why are you standing up for an 18-year-old boy? He said, this 18-year-old boy is going to answer the questions of the whole world. He will be the meshiv for kol ha'olam kulo. Not just for his people, but for kol ha'olam kulo. When he was 13, 14, they took him to Yeshivat Chevron and they pointed to certain Talmidim in the yeshiva. They told him, this boy over here is 16 years old, he knows all of Seder Nashim. This boy knows all Gemara, by heart. All of Seder Nezikim. This boy knows all of Shas. This boy knows. This instilled him with inspiration. He said, look what I could accomplish. Look what these people are accomplishing. And he internalized this, and right away he said he finished all of Shas when he was already 16, 17 years old. He already knew all of Shas. Practically, Gemara, Rashi, he all knew by heart. Harav Yitzchak Yosef, the Rishon Letzion, his son, spoke by the Levaya, and he said that there is a contradiction. Chachamenu Zichronan Mevracha ask a contradiction. It says that when a tzaddik passes away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sameach k'sheba elav nefesh tzaddik v'naki. The other Chazal say that when a tzaddik passes away, that it's kisrefat bet elokeinu, as we all know, like churban bet hamikdash. Ask Harav Yitzchak Yosef, which one is it? How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sameach, that he's happy, nefesh tzaddik came to him, if it's kisrefat bet hamikdash? He said there is a tzaddik la'atzmo, say Chazal, and a tzaddik la'acherim. Tzaddik la'atzmo, who was only for himself, who didn't go out. Over there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sameach that this nefesh came, nefesh naki v'tzadik. But a tzadik who was la'achirim, that's kisrefat bet eloken. That's a totally different level of a tzadik. There are many stories about Harav Ovadia Yosef, how he was moser nefesh, going around his Ashkenazi Talmidei Chachamim, who were great Geonim, told him, why are you sitting with Baalei Batim? with working people all the time. Open up a yeshiva on your level. Open up a kollel on your level. He said, you don't understand. I am inspiring them to send their children to yeshiva. If not, they're worried about parnasa. They're worried about what's going to be with their children. The non-religious people are taking them. They're going to listen to me. I'm able to talk with them. I'm able to relate to them. He would travel, and he was, as it was mentioned, he wouldn't waste one second. One second. We were a few minutes with him a few times before Mincha. One time in his house, he walks in, he looks around, 2 minutes before Mincha. No one's asking him any questions. He's looking. He finds a pile of Divrei Torah. Pile. In Israel, you have 50 sheets from different mosdot, Divrei Torah, and Berklach on the parasha. He picks it up, as was said, takes off his glasses, puts it right over here, and starts to read. 2 minutes before Mincha. Another time I saw him in Deal, again, 2 minutes before Mincha, he's looking around. He sits down, he's looking around, he finds a Sidu. Yechaveh Da'at. Yechaveh Da'at has halakot that he himself wrote. They all come. His sons put out the halakot that he wrote. He opens to the back of the Sidu, takes off his glasses, puts it in front of his eyes like that, and starts to read. He wouldn't waste a second. Harav Frank told his daughter, when Harav Ovadia comes, and he was a young man, you let him in right away, because he doesn't waste one second in his learning. Don't let him wait one second. So he was running around the whole country trying to convince parents to send their children not to the Mafdal Yeshivot, but he said Mafdal wasn't giving a good, proper Torah education. He said, send them to the Yeshiva. They said, what do you mean? The Mafdal, they're going to have Parnasa. Here they won't have Parnasa. He said, I promise they'll have Parnasa. I guarantee Parnasa, he said. There were 70 Talmidim in Porat Yosef. He testified when he was a boy in Porat Yosef. 70 Talmidim Sfaradim. There were only 2 yeshivot in Yerushalayim. He said the Ashkenazim had Yeshivat Etz HaChaim. The Sfaradim had Yeshivat Porat Yosef. Only 70 Talmidim. How many Talmidim Sfaradim do they have today? All because of him. Parents were convinced that it's in their best interest to send their children to yeshivot. They were sending to Elians, they were sending to other places. With him, they were convinced that they should send their child to yeshiva. I remember I was 9 years old, maybe 10 years old. I was learning in YCQ. I was in yeshiva, Central Queens. We went to Yerushalayim for the summer. We went to the Sheraton Hotel for one Shabbat. I said, why are we going over here? We had parents, we had relatives all over, not in Yerushalayim. My father said, we're going to Yerushalayim. I said, why? He said, we want to go see Harav Ovadia. Okay. Harav Ovadia Yosef, I had heard only because my father, who can read Hebrew well, had Yalkut Yosef in his house, would read Yalkut Yosef and say over halakhot on Shabbat. We came to Harav Ovadia, and everyone's kissing his hand, and he points to me and he says, the boy will go to yeshiva. Hu yelech leyeshiva. Uyigmur elementary school, uyigmur yeshiva ktana, ani sholeach oto leyeshiva. Harav Ovadia amar, baruch yeh, tiyeh lo bracha, yeh lo hatzlacha, ata oseh hachi tov. I was wearing a kippah sruga. He was wearing a kippah sruga, my father. My father said, I'm going to send him to yeshiva. I promise you, I want to send him to Porat Yosef. I remember when I was in elementary school already, my father had ideas of Porat Yosef. My rebbeim told him, are you crazy? He can't go to Porat Yosef. What Porat Yosef? They convinced him to send me to Ne'er Yisrael, to Baltimore. This is his hashpa'an he had on regular people who heard him speak, who were inspired to send their children to yeshiva only because of what he said. Nobody else was talking about it. He emphasized that every speech, every darasha was halakha, and send your boy to yeshiva. And he would say stories and inspire people. As was mentioned, you sat by his shiur, you weren't sure. Is this educational, inspirational? Is it entertainment? It was literally everything together. You couldn't figure out what type of shiur. I remember a Rebbe in Baltimore once said, he said, who's he talking to? One second he's making a joke as if he's an entertainer. The next second he's saying a very complicated machloket. The next second he's saying a story like he's talking to 10-year-olds. This is his shiur. His shiur was so entertaining. There are stories of people who used to buy a movie ticket and they would keep it in their pocket after the shiur, they're going to the movies. They left the shiur, they stayed by the shiur, they said, we're not going to go anywhere. This was more entertaining than a movie. This was more entertaining. This is how he caught people, how he inspired them, how he took them. He had a way to talk with them. There are a few stories I will tell you. It's very late. I just want to end off with a few stories that I heard when I was in Baltimore. I have a neighbor who's a grandson of the Rosh Yeshiva of Baltimore, Rav Ruderman and Rav Weinberg, and he told me, do you remember that you weren't there? He tells me, I told him I learned in Baltimore, and he said, do you remember Rav Avadi Yosef came? I said, I heard. Rav Avadi Yosef came. He said, do you know why he came to Baltimore? I said, I'm assuming he came. There were many, many Sfaradim there, and I'm assuming they asked him to come. He said, no. There was a woman in Baltimore, and this woman in Baltimore, he said, had a dibuk in her. This is what the grandson tells me. She had a dibuk in her. They asked Rav Ruderman. They didn't know what to do. Rav Ruderman was the Gaon in Baltimore. He was the Gaon. He heard Harav Ovadia was in New York. He contacted the Syrians. He told them, you need Harav Ovadia to come to Baltimore. He came to Baltimore, and his grandson of the Rosh Yeshiva, who's Ashkenazi, told me that he got the dibuk out of this lady. Nobody knows, he says. Only the family of the girl and the Rosh Yeshiva's family. He said, my father-in-law, who was the son-in-law of the Rosh Yeshiva, told him. This is why Chacham Ovadia came to Baltimore, because he was there. The yeshiva heard he's there. They brought him to the yeshiva to give a shiur. But this is the real reason why he came. We don't understand how great he was. Not only in halakha, he was moser nefesh that every person should know, every man, woman, and child should know halakha. He once said, people think the Sfaradim are a shevet nidach, like a ger. They have no mesorah, they have no custom, they have no tradition. And he was moser nefesh to teach people, we have a custom, we have a tradition. He says he was on the bedin in Petach Tikva, and he spoke about a sefer called Get Pashut. Get Pashut was written 300 years ago by one of the Rishonim Letzion, Maram Chaviv, wrote a sefer Get Pashut. So he tells his fellow Ashkenazi Dayanim, let's use the sefer Get Pashut. They said, no, what are you talking about Get Pashut? We never used Get Pashut here in our life. What's Get Pashut? He opens up a Pnei Yehoshua, who was from the Gdolei Ashkenazim. He points to a Gemara, and the Pnei Yehoshua writes about the Get Pashut, Maram Chaviv, as if he was the greatest Talmid Chacham of his time. And he writes about him, and then he argues, he says, Lule, and he says, Afar ani tachat kapot aglav, but I want to say this, I disagree with his opinion. Once they saw how the Pnei Yehoshua from Gdolei Ashkenaz was treating the Get Pashut, he said, from then on, all the Dionim, he said, they let me use Get Pashut, and everything was fine. Everything would go the way it was supposed to go. There is a story in Baltimore. They told me that the Rabbanim in town came to say Shalom Aleichem to Chacham Ovadia. Chacham Ovadia went one after, they came to him, and he's shaking everybody's hand. Somebody tells him, one of the Chachamim, that his name is Sternhill, Yitzchak Sternhill. So he says, Sternhill? Ata katavta et ha-sefer Kochvei Yitzchak? He says, yes, that's me. This was a Hasidish Rav from Munkach, who wrote a sefer Kochvei Yitzchak. Chacham Ovadia knew a sefer Baal Peh. He knew it by heart. He quoted him all the time in Yabiyom. He never met him before. He hugs him, and Ashkenazim in the yeshiva told me, you never saw such a thing. Two worlds coming together. They never met each other. And then I found out Kochvei Yitzchak brings Yabiyah Omer down also and never met him. And they hugged each other and kissed each other. He said, you saw two worlds. Their connection was the Torah. He connected the whole world with his Torah. And he had great kavod for Talmidei Chachamim. He told the Talmidim, and he told Rav Yehuda Hades that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach lo iniach kemoto, he said. Once he passed away, he said, there was no posek like Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. There was no posek like Rav Moshe Feinstein. He spoke with such great kavod. He said that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was from the Gdolei HaPoskim of his time. Rav Reuven Katz, the Teplik Rav, used to speak about Harav Miteplik. The Teplik Rav was the Rav in Bet Yisrael. Bet Yisrael, he knew Kol HaTorah Kula, Baal Peh. He said, Chacham Ovadia said, he was once a young teenager. He goes to Harav Miteplik. I learned in Yeshivat Mir, so you get to know who the Bet Yisrael Rabbanim were. Harav Miteplik was one of them. And he said, Harav Miteplik sits him down, what are you learning? He says, Ketuvot Mem Daled. He says, did you see the Baal HaMao? He says, no. So Chacham Ovadia was sitting opposite the table with the Gemara in front of him. The Teplik Rav turns the pages to the Baal HaMao, and he shows him, look over here, and he starts to read Baal HaMao word for word Baal Peh. This Teplik Rav, word for word Baal Peh. Chacham Ovadia went crazy. He said, he's not a human being, this person. He's not a human being. This is the great kavod he had for all Talmidei Chachamim. his wife, when people were coming over, kissing his hand, asking him questions, and he was answering one by one, and Avrech told me he was there in Baltimore, in the Bet Midrash, they were asking him 50 questions, one after another. She says to the Avrech, "You know how he became like this, my husband?" She says, "We got married, we had no room, one room apartment." Chabavadia says, people get married, or Bachur Yeshiva gets married, he thinks because he's learning that the whole world is he deserves the whole world. He wants this and this in the bank, he wants this car, this apartment, this, that, he's asking for everything. He says, "I got married, I was also learning," he says, "I had nothing. One 4-meter apartment by a 4-meter apartment, 12 feet by 12 feet, he says, the bed was here, the kitchen was here, the Sfarim were here, we had no room to breathe. The table practically went from one side of the wall to the other." He said, "I had nothing and I was happy, I was learning." She says, "We were in this apartment, I have to nurse the baby," she says. She tells this Avrech, "I have to nurse the baby, he doesn't want to stop learning. I'm telling him, Ovadia, I have to nurse the baby. And he's not stopping, there's no mechitza, there's no nothing." She said, "I went under the table so that there should be a mechitza so he could continue learning. I nursed the baby under the table. He continued his learning." This is what she said. This is how he became like this. He never stopped his learning for nothing. "You want to nurse? Nurse. Find a way to nurse the baby. What do you want from me?" And he would stop. And she went along with him. She gave him this koach. En lanu chalifato, en lanu tmurato. All we could do is pray to Hashem, that Hashem should bring us the geula. We again thank the Rabbanim for coming. Tehi nishmato tzura b'tzura chayim. Amen. Amen.